You are Locked On Vols, your daily Tennessee Volunteers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into Locked On Vols, your team every day. My name is Josh Ward. Thank you for being here today, as today's show is loaded up with football topics. We are just a few days away from the start of SEC Football Media Days. We know which players Tennessee will send down to Hoover, Alabama next week. Tennessee will be there next Tuesday. Coming up later in the show, I'll tell you which players are headed to represent Tennessee. I think they're all good choices by Tennessee head coach Jeremy Pruitt. He'll be a part of the trip as well. Again, Tennessee will be there next Tuesday. I'll get to that in the third segment of today's show. Before all that, in segment number one, I'm going to talk about a player on offense who you're probably pretty familiar with among the skill position players, but some numbers from last year show just why it's so important for him to be heavily involved this year. I'll tell you about that here in segment number one. You'll hear from his position coach as well in just a moment. And then in segment number two, there's a question out there about Tennessee and Florida. Is it a rivalry right now? I'll explain coming up in the second segment of today's show, which is available anywhere you get your podcast. If you are already subscribed, thanks so much. If you haven't, subscribing to the show anywhere you listen, whether it's Apple or Google Podcasts, Spotify, the new Himalaya app, Overcast, the podcast will be right there in your feed as soon as I post it each and every day. You can also listen on your smart speaker at home. Just tell your smart speaker to play podcast, Locked On VOLS, Locked On Vols, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I saw this stat shared from Pro Football Focus this week, looking at running backs in the SEC. And the stat had to do with running backs in the passing game. Here's what was noted by Pro Football Focus. When it came to catching out of the backfield, no one in the SEC was better than Ty Chandler. He averaged 8.6 yards after the catch per reception, and he turned in three touchdowns through the air last season. Among SEC running backs with a minimum 15 targets, Ty Chandler was the highest graded running back in the SEC by Pro Football Focus. That was ahead of DeAndre Swift at Georgia, Keyshawn Vaughn at Vanderbilt, LaMichael Pirine at Florida, and Tyler Beatty at Missouri. This would back up something that I've talked about a lot, and a number of people covering Tennessee, Tennessee fans, really anybody watching Tennessee's offense the last year, maybe 2 years, have said, and that's throw the ball to Ty Chandler more. I think it was confusing to a lot of people last year when Chandler was heavily involved in a couple of games, and then in that final month of the season, Chandler really wasn't a part of the passing game. He did deal with injury issues at different times in the season, had a concussion early in the year, and was banged up a little bit later on. But when Tennessee's offense was at its best, it's very clear that Ty Chandler was a part of that. Against Auburn, that was Tennessee's best offensive performance of the season. Ty Chandler led the team in touches. He also led the team in touches against South Carolina. And I would argue that that was Tennessee's second-best offensive performance of the season. Tennessee lost the game, but it was the only loss that was a competitive loss for Tennessee. The Vols lost by three. The other six losses were by 25 or more points. Jesse Simonton of VolQuest did note this. Reasons for excitement with Ty Chandler. Among SEC backs, Tennessee's running back ranked number one as a receiver and number five in breakaway percentage. That was according to Pro Football Focus. But when you get to the running game, nearly 50% of yards came on just eight carries in 2018. Chandler averaged only 3.2 yards per carry on his other 104 runs. You want to see more consistency, I would say, from Ty Chandler in what he is able to do out of the backfield, both as a runner and a receiver. Earlier in the spring, running backs coach David Johnson, remember he coached wide receivers a year ago, now he's coaching running backs. He talked about Ty Chandler, what he's shown, and what his potential can be. Here's running backs coach David Johnson.
I think the sky's the limit for him. This guy is extremely smart. He plays fast, and although he's not a big back, he plays extremely physical. But he wants to be good. You know, he comes in all the time watching extra tape, trying to be better. And he's always asking the question, what can I do to become better and actually be a better teammate? So wherever you put him, man, he's going to be successful.
Something you learned about him when you started working with him more directly, sort of on a day-to-day basis, that maybe you didn't think you noticed you know, last year?
Probably his ball skills, being a receiver out of the backfield. That's one of the plus, and he's really good in protection. He understands what's going on. He can kind of re-mic and everything. But his ball skills and how physical he really is when he's blocking.
So what was the first answer there from David Johnson, what he really learned about Ty Chandler? His ball skills, his ability to catch the football. He had a teammate last year before the 2018 season began tell me that something to watch with Ty Chandler would be Tennessee lining him up at the slot and involving him more as a receiver. I wonder if we will see that more in 2019. And a reason to bring that up as well would be Jim Chaney. A lot of the conversation around Tennessee's offense will come back to the guy coaching the offense. Offense coordinator Jim Chaney has dealt with different offenses, with different players, with different kinds of skill sets. I think back to his time coaching Georgia, and Georgia was loaded with talent. So I'm not necessarily comparing the talent of Ty Chandler and the other running backs to this group. But in 2017, Georgia had Sony Michel and Nick Chubb return for their senior seasons. They also had a really talented freshman named DeAndre Swift. He was a high school All-American, a guy with clear ability. But a question was, okay, they have Chubb back. They have Michel back. How is DeAndre Swift really going to fit in? Well, Jim Chaney found a way. He had the ability to catch the football out of the backfield, and Swift was just too talented to not be involved. So I'm not comparing Chubb, Michel, and Swift to what Tennessee has in the backfield. I don't think that would be fair at all. But Chandler is a guy with big-time talent, and he has players in the same offensive backfield, Tim Jordan, Jeremy Banks, Eric Gray now as a true freshman, who have plenty of ability to be successful. Now, how good is the offensive line? That's going to be a question as well. But his freshman season, DeAndre Swift, with Chubb and Michel, was still able to get more than 80 carries. He picked up 618 yards on the ground. And as a receiver that season, as a freshman, he caught 17 passes for 150 yards, 153. So more than 760 yards of offense from DeAndre Swift with Chubb and Michel still in the backfield. Again, I'm not saying that Tennessee is going to be what Georgia was from a statistical standpoint or that they are as talented overall. But Tennessee does have a number of talented pieces to work with, not only the running backs that I just mentioned, starting with Chandler, but also Juwan Jennings, Josh Palmer, Marquez Callaway, Domwood Anderson, Jordan Murphy. Let's see if any of the other younger receivers can step up. Brennan Johnson is a guy that's played a good amount at wide receiver. Tyler Byrd. There's something to work with here for Jim Chaney and the offense. And when I talked to former Tennessee wide receiver Jacob Carter the week that Chaney was hired at Tennessee, the first thing he said about what he really liked about Jim Chaney is him putting the players in the right kind of position to take advantage of their skill set. And Ty Chandler's skill set says, get him the football out of the backfield, throw it to him, get him in space, let him make plays. When he returned a kick for a touchdown, it was against a lesser opponent as a freshman, but he showed off the playmaking ability, the open space ability to get away from defenders. And that's a big goal with this offense with Ty Chandler. So interesting numbers from Pro Football Focus. I will share the link in the show notes if you want to look at that yourself. But the highest graded running back in the SEC when it came to the passing game last year was Ty Chandler. It's a pretty easy solution to me. Throw him the ball more, and you could have more success on offense. Coming up next, Tennessee versus Florida. Is it an active rivalry in the SEC? I'll explain why I ask that question coming up next as Locked On Vols continues. And Locked On Vols today is presented by Twillery.com/LockedOn. I really like telling you about the shirts that they have to offer and everything that they do at Twillery. Smart casual just got smarter and cheaper thanks to Twillery, which brings performance work shirts to the next level with four-way stretch material that shuts down wrinkles, stops sweat, and keeps you looking and feeling cool. For as low as $55 a pop when you bundle four or more shirts, you also get free shipping and returns. It's top value in smart workwear. You can grab them at Twillery.com/LockedOn. And they do have different options. Non-iron, untuckable, they have performance dress shirts. And the shirt that I received recently, I love. Check it out for yourself. Go to Twillery.com/LockedOn. That's TWILLORY.com/LockedOn. Use the promo code Locked On, one word, to get $25 off. The promo code is Locked On, the website, Twillery.com/LockedOn. Okay, so why am I asking if Tennessee and Florida is a rivalry? Well, it's not a question I came up with this week. It's a question that was asked by Pat Dooley of the Gainesville Sun when he was on with Paul Feinbaum earlier this week on the SEC Network. And setting this up, Pat Dooley was talking about teams that Florida will play this year. What is Auburn going to be? What is LSU going to be? Pat was talking about how it's difficult to know what a number of teams will be this upcoming 2019 season. Paul Feinbaum then mentioned that people around Tennessee, maybe Tennessee fans, are very high on what Jeremy Pruitt will be able to do in year two. Paul was not specific to who he was talking about, but I'm guessing the Tennessee fan base would be a part of that. And Pat kind of responded that, well, if you're hoping to go to the Belk Bowl, then Tennessee should be excited. And by the way, if Tennessee makes it to the Belk Bowl, I think a lot of fans would take that this year. But then Pat Dooley on Feinbaum's show asked this question.
Today, is Florida-Tennessee even a rivalry anymore? You know, I mean, when I listed the five most important games for Florida this year, I didn't have Tennessee on there. Of course, I didn't have FSU on there either.
Yeah, that says a lot. That's quite a paradigm shift.
It is. I mean, you talk about the days of when that Florida-Tennessee game. I mean, sometimes I sit there and I go back and watch old games, and I was just rewatching. Well, we did that, as you know, the 25 greatest moments in Florida history, or Swamp history. And so there was a lot of Florida-Tennessee games on there from the Spurrier era especially. And going back and watching those games and just the electricity in the air for those games, I haven't felt that for a long time.
You know, that's pretty much everybody in Tennessee lately, Pat, as you well know. So
yeah,
great.
And you know, it's such a great fan base. I mean, they really are. I give them a lot of credit. But it's just been one cluster higher after another. And I think Jeremy Pruitt's a good hire, but I don't think it's going to happen overnight. I mean, we saw that team. The team we saw when Florida went up there was really, really bad. Now, they got better as the season went along, but that's when I go back to the I don't know about Auburn. I can't tell you what Auburn's going to do because I watched the Auburn-Tennessee game last year. I mean, what the hell was that?
So that's Pat Dooley on Paul Feinbaum's show this week. I don't know that he said anything that's unfair. Pat gave some credit to Tennessee fans. No doubt, the Tennessee fan base is a passionate fan base. I imagine you would agree with that. And clearly, the matchup between Tennessee and Florida has lacked what it had in the 90s and during a lot of the 2000s. It hasn't been there quite as much recently. Last year, there was a big buildup, but Florida walked into Neyland Stadium and knocked Tennessee around, and it was over pretty quickly in that game. And then when you think about Tennessee versus Florida, Florida has actually not been at an elite level for much of the last 10 and a half years. Florida did win the national championship in 2006 and 2008 with Urban Meyer. They had some really good teams there in the mid to late 2000s. But think about recently for Florida. Last year they got up to 10 wins, so last year's season was a good one. And Jim McElwain won the East a couple of times. But part of that was taking advantage of the SEC East being down, and in 2016, Tennessee dropping the ball when it probably should have won the Eastern Division. Florida has not been a great team this decade, the 2010s, with Will Muschamp and Jim McElwain. Dan Mullen could get Tennessee back there soon. We'll find out here in the next year or two, right? Tennessee goes to Gainesville this year, where Tennessee has not won in 16 years. And think about this. Since 2005, Tennessee has beaten Florida once. That was back in 2016. Since 2005, Tennessee has beaten Florida once. In that same time, Vanderbilt has beaten Tennessee six times. What's more of a rivalry right now? Tennessee versus Florida or Tennessee versus Vanderbilt? Now, I would still say Tennessee-Florida is a rivalry. It's a game that still matters to both sides, and Florida has not been at that elite level recently. It might be back soon, but it has not really been there recently. Florida has plenty of reasons to be excited and confident when it goes up against Tennessee. Why wouldn't Florida be confident against Tennessee? I'd say this year, Tennessee's hoping that Florida is overconfident because of last year's result at Neyland Stadium. But Florida's not been at the championship level that it expects to be. So beating Tennessee should still mean something to Florida. But Tennessee has to do more. Tennessee has to not only be more competitive against Florida compared to what happened last year, Tennessee needs to beat Florida. At least this year, it needs to put a scare into Florida, I think, for there to be a huge buildup next year. Well, yeah, next year, depending on how the season goes, could create more optimism for Tennessee, and Tennessee will host Florida next year. And whenever Florida comes to town, there is a big buildup. There was a big buildup to last year's game. It was just that all of the energy in that stadium was deflated very quickly because of, again, what happened in that game. But there was a big buildup. I remember last year talking to some members of the media covering Florida that said, yeah, I think Tennessee's going to win this one. And as the week went along, I changed my mind. At the beginning of the week, I was sure that Florida was going to win. By the end of the week, I said, I actually think Tennessee might win. And you know the result. Florida won by 26 points in Knoxville. So right now, I would say, yeah, it's a rivalry. It's just very lopsided. And I would say Tennessee needs to do a lot more to bring back maybe some regional or certainly national attention on Tennessee-Florida. If you go around the country, if you look at big games for 2019, any piece that's done by a national outlet, you're not going to find Tennessee-Florida. And it used to be that Tennessee-Florida was at or very close to the top of the biggest games you had to watch heading into the college football season. It's just not that way right now. So I would say yes, it's still a rivalry to answer the question that Pat Dooley asked Paul Feinbaum, but Tennessee needs to do something to get more people to agree with me, because I can make a case that, yeah, it's still a rivalry. Yeah, it still means something. Yes, it's still an important game for both teams, but there's a yeah, but that can be offered by some others. So if Tennessee wants to get more people to agree that, yes, it's still a rivalry, or to say again that it's a rivalry, Tennessee needs to beat Florida. That'll be a tough task this year in Gainesville. But if Tennessee pulled off a road upset, well, you can just imagine what the conversation would be, not only in Knoxville, but around the SEC as it relates to Tennessee football. Coming up in the final segment of Locked On Vols, information on Jeremy Pruitt committing an NCAA violation, why it really is not a big deal at all. I'll tell you about that. And the three Tennessee players that will be headed to SEC Football Media Days next week in Hoover, Alabama. That's coming up next on Locked On Vols, which you can find on your smartphone or your smart speaker by simply telling it to play podcast Locked On VOLS. You can find it anywhere you listen to podcasts, but if you want to tell your smart speaker in your home, somewhere in your kitchen, your bedroom, to play the podcast, just tell it to play podcast Locked On VOLS. So news came out on Wednesday that Jeremy Pruitt has committed a minor NCAA violation. It occurred earlier this year, and it happened when he tweeted out congratulations to his high school, which he attended in Alabama when it won a state basketball title. The tweet simply said, "Congratulations, Robbie Coker and Plainview High School on back-to-back state championships. Hashtag too much blue, hashtag PLV. That was on March 1st. The tweet was deleted 37 minutes later after a compliance official noted that it constituted an impermissible endorsement of a high school team and its coach. Compliance officials met with Pruitt, as I read from the Associated Press story, and the staffer overseeing the football program's Twitter accounts to discuss the particular rule, but that was the extent of any repercussions for his actions. That was one of three football-related Level 3 violations Tennessee self-reported in the first 6 months of 2019. Tennessee also reported one Level 3 violation each in swimming, men's tennis, track, softball, rowing, and women's soccer. Violations are going to occur, and in what I've been told by compliance officials in the past, the NCAA expects you to turn in violations. Now, if you turn in, hey, we paid this player, well, you're going to have a big problem on your hands. But they expect you to be compliant. That's why it's the name of the office. So Jeremy Pruitt tweeting out congratulations to his high school for winning a state championship in basketball. That has to sound very minor, and it is. You get a slap on the wrist. There was another violation involving a non-coaching staffer driving family members of a recruit beyond the 30-mile radius of campus where contact is permitted, and having three non-coaching staff members conduct an off-season conditioning session. And with that, the NCAA took away four recruiting evaluation days from Tennessee for that. Not a big deal. It's something that goes on around the country with all other schools. It's notable. It is newsworthy. It's just not a major issue with Tennessee's football program, and I don't think it's being treated as if it is by anyone out there. Now, next week will be SEC Football Media Days, which is treated as a very big deal. It's a four-day event, Monday through Thursday, with every school sending its head coach and three players. And next Tuesday, Tennessee will send head coach Jeremy Pruitt, along with quarterback Jarrett Garantano and linebackers Daniel Batuli and Darrell Taylor. I think this is the perfect group to send. I thought there was a chance wide receiver Marquez Callaway could go. Safety Nigel Warrior could have gone. He's a senior, and he's somebody who's met with the media a good amount. Ryan Johnson's met with the media a lot, so he could have been a pretty good choice. But Garantano is clearly Tennessee's quarterback. He's also somebody that I think clearly has the trust of Tennessee's coaches. Last year, before the 2018 season, we did not talk to Jarrett Garantano. He spoke to the media a few times this past spring. He's clearly the starter, and he's somebody that I think Jeremy Pruitt believes in as the guy at quarterback. And the fact that he's the starter and there is no quarterback competition, there's no controversy, I think, or nothing for them to worry about with the questions that will be asked. Not that there really is ever anything to worry about, but still, that's out of the equation. So Garantano will be there, and then you have two seniors at linebacker, Taylor and Batuli. Those are two of Tennessee's leaders, two of Tennessee's best players. Taylor is going to get some all-SEC attention next week when the media puts together its preseason all-SEC teams and makes its predictions for how the season will finish. And then Batuli is a guy that really needs to step up in the middle at linebacker, especially with Darren Kirkland Jr. having moved on from the game of football. Batuli also has a lot of experience talking to the media, so I just think it's the right trio. There are nine quarterbacks who will be at SEC Media Days next week. We will hear from Tua Tagovailoa at Alabama, Jake Fromm at Georgia, Kelly Bryant at Missouri, Kellen Mond will be there from Texas A&M, Jake Bentley at South Carolina, Felipe Franks at Florida, Matt Corral is going from Ole Miss, Joe Burrow at LSU. I might have just missed somebody, but nine quarterbacks from the 14 SEC schools. That's nice to see. I think it's the most quarterbacks that will have been there in the last 6 years. I think you have to go back to 2013 is what I read. I might be off on that a little bit, but it's the first time in a while that we've seen as many as nine quarterbacks representing the 14 teams. Just, I think, makes things more interesting. There are a lot of storylines, which I will get into in the next show, kind of previewing SEC Media Days, and I'm planning to do at least four shows, maybe five next week, depending on how the travel schedule works out, but I will at least have shows for you Monday through Thursday next week. Things are about to start picking up with football getting closer. We're still a few weeks away from the start of practice, but when SEC Media Days arrives, it feels like it's just about here. So that's going to be a lot of fun next week. I look forward to giving you some coverage from down there in Hoover, Alabama next week. And again, Tennessee will be there on Tuesday. Remember to check out the show notes for links to some of the stuff I'm talking about here on the show. Continue to spread the word. Download, subscribe, rate and review, and let other Tennessee fans know about Locked On Vols. I appreciate all the help there, and rating and reviewing, that is a big help. Thanks to everybody who has done that. I'm on Twitter at Josh_Ward. You can find me on Facebook as well, facebook.com/Josh Ward. Have a great rest of your day. I'll see you next time right here on Locked On Vols.